Dakota. All right, against it's Prince Spaghetti Day. Anthony!
Wow.
This is W8FU. WBAE Monitoring. Walt, how are you this crisp autumn day? Well, good morning, Sean. Yes, the furnace clicked on. I think I've been up since 2:30. I think it was like 48 degrees. On your way in, I take it, it's a hot chocolate day instead of a coffee. If only. Well, the thermal meter in the car says it's 44 degrees. And it's a comfortable 80 in the car because I was a little chilly. But I don't know. Do they make sugar-free hot chocolate? And if they do, is it worth drinking?
I don't know, but I would agree with you. Is it worth drinking? Everything has sugar in it. That's the problem. Everything has a lot of salt, a lot of sugar in our foods, or the food chain.
You know, the one that really amazed me was corn. How many things corn is in one way or another. My goodness. We'd have to change our entire lifestyle without corn.
Yeah, I think it's corn syrup. I'm sort of vague on that. I know what I mean, but I can't find words. Anyway, let's see. Today's a lark in a park. I don't know if I'm going to go. We'll see how I feel. I've been having some rough days, not the wine. You know, that damn losing my balance. Not really losing my balance, but almost. Other than that, I think it's time for 168, a bowl of wonton.
You bet. This is perfect weather for it. It's supposed to get up to 65, so maybe by afternoon it'll be a different story. But boy, if it were crisp like this, that would be ideal. So good bowl of pho too. That's always good on a day like today. I went to my favorite place, the little place between 12 and 13. It's actually closer to 13 off of DeQuinter. Got a bowl of pho, and it was a little different. I don't know what happened there, so I'm going to have to find out if Lee is not cooking there anymore. Because that place had the absolute hands-down best pho I've ever had in the area. And that says a lot because there's so many places that do pho in the area.
Yeah, ever since I got introduced to that soup, I've been going on YouTube and watching these people that go up and down Vietnam. And the difference in all the food, like every country, you know, north and south, east or west. And it's quite amazing. What the hell is his name? Max Mick something. He gets on his motorbike, got to be fluent in Vietnamese language. And he goes to these back alley places. You know, it's phenomenal, the difference in food and what food they eat, you know. With my ethnic background, I can eat anything. I mean, I don't want chocolate-covered bees, or I don't want the duck's egg with the little baby duck in it, but all the other stuff, the organs, you know, I just love that kind of food. But, like I said, at the Chinese place, 168, I never had a phenomenal bowl of wonton like I had there.
Right. Yeah, I gotta try that one of these days. So, now the place that I get my pho from, They have a soup. It's a variation of pho, I guess. And it's from the north, and it's a little different. And I didn't care for it. It had these cubes of congealed pig blood in it that you'd probably like, but I wasn't real fond of that. But that's the Hanoi specialty. So they kind of play a little bit into that, you know, regional. And that's the thing that I tell people whenever you're having, I like this. I mean, Chinese food has gotten pretty homogenous. But, a lot of these places, like, Middle Eastern food, I love most of the foods from the Middle East. And there's quite a variation, depending on whether it's Lebanese or Iraqi or what. You know, they're markedly different, and very similar as well, but very different, and it's just regional, and regional flair on similar dishes. Yeah, it's like everybody makes a version of their certain foods. Everybody's got it; they got their own flair on it, and you just gotta. You just got to try the ones from the different areas. Have you ever had burek? That's, I don't know if it's necessarily only, I want to say Yugoslavia, but that's so, so last millennia. Not Slovenia, Serbia. Serbia, they make the burek and I'm going to guess also, in that whole region there, they probably make a variation of it.
WBAD. No, I haven't. But getting back to the bowl, went to Full Hope. What the hell's the name of it? Hanoi. Full Hanoi. Completely different than the Detroit Bowl and Crab. So must be a different part of the world. But what is that dish you're referring to?
The burek is kind of a phyllo dough. They make it into like a ring, and they fill it with, there's a ground meat, there's a cheese version, there's a spinach version. It's kind of like a Serbian spinach pie almost, except for, you can get it with meat filling. And there's a place not far from you there. It's called Drago's, and it's at 15 and Ryan. And they used to be down in Hamtramck, right on Joseph Campo, and they had a sign that would say European Burek, and they moved to 15 Mile and Ryan, and now you can go there and still get it. It's more kind of just a general diner, but you can get the burek there, and the I forget what they call the sausages that are real popular along with that.
No, I think I've seen that. And didn't know what it was. I think at Max's on 15 Mile Road, on the south side of 15, before you get to DeQuinder. Max's, it's a, we'll call it a Yugoslavian type food stop, supermarket, very small. They're noted for their exorbitant, rich birthday cakes and that. And my neighbor found the, what the hell is it? Croatian. He found that the factory where they make these little sausages, that it was on Outer Drive in Van Dyke. He found out where the ethnic supermarkets get this little sausage from, and you save a lot of money by going there. I got a kick out of that. But the ethnic food is coming back.
K-R-U-H. Good morning, Anthony. We're talking food once again. Yum, yum. How are you?
I'm doing well. I turned the radio on, heard you guys were talking about food, and now I'm thinking about breakfast. I heard Walt say that ethnic food is coming back, and, my ethnic food taste is, you could probably guess it, it's Italian. That's about as far as it goes. I don't get too adventurous in my eating.
Ed Walt. Well, good morning, Anthony. When I was talking to you yesterday, a battery on a handheld gave out. What I was alluding to about fishing, and not to change the subject very quickly, decades and decades ago, we'd go to Belle Isle when the carp were spawning, and we'd snag them, and the brothers would drive by, and we'd trade them for beer. They'd go across the bridge, buy us a six-pack. We had waders on. We had, you know, mammoth 150-pound test with the huge sinkers with the snagging hooks in them. Belle Isle Bank tuna. The best meal I had in Italy was on the Isle of Ischia, which is now a very fashionable island. We didn't go to Capri because it was a rainy day. It was a holiday. You'd have to wait hours for the ferries to take you across. And this Italian-American came up to us and said, go to Ischia. And it was just they took the house and made part of the house a restaurant. And, of course, part of the seating arrangement was out on the sidewalk. Just a phenomenal view. It was before your parents got married. And I love octopus. People go, what? Yeah, it's really a great treat and very familiar with the Italian cuisine. Sean?
That sounds fun. I'll tell you what, yeah, getting it, you know, actually in Italy, actually in, you know, Lebanon, actually in, you know, Thailand, that would be, you know, really good. So now, you know, you're getting the, well, not necessarily, but you probably got a better chance of getting the real deal if you find the back alley place, you know, instead of the, you know, place on the main strip near the airport. But, you know, Italian, much like Greek and Chinese, have become so American that we don't even think of those as, you know, ethnic food anymore, really. You know, it's, I mean, we still say Italian, let's get Italian, or let's get, you know, Greek, or let's get, you know, Chinese. But, I mean, you don't think of it the same way you do, you know, others. Those are just mainstays now, American staples. And they've probably been so Americanized. I don't know. I don't know, you know, if most Italian dishes have been seriously Americanized. When I go to some of these places like Benamiglio's and stuff like that, and I look at some of the stuff that they, you know, have, they've got the standard, but they've got some stuff that's a little, or you go to a finer Italian restaurant, you know, things are a little different, you know, than what you see in your typical Italian restaurant. So I'm guessing that there's been quite a bit of Americanization to a lot of these people. But, we'll defer to the expert on frequency, Anthony.
As a whole, I think you're right. It has been very Americanized and watered down to, you know, pasta and red sauce. But there's, I think it was Walt was saying, you know, eating octopus and shellfish and, you know, that kind of stuff. And just like the Mediterranean style of eating, that is not commonplace, I would say. You know, you have to go, like Sean said, to one of the quote-unquote finer restaurants before you're going to get a dish that's outside of the norm. Otherwise, you're getting pizza and pasta with red sauce, or maybe Alfredo or something like that. But, you know, you go somewhere, even medium grade level, you know, like Salvatore Scallopini's, and you're getting good food, you know. One of my favorites, when I can find it, is always steak Siciliano with a Amoygu sauce, or, you know, a pasta with seafood in it, with shellfish, something like that. But very Americanized these days. Over to you, Walt.
Boy, we're covering a lot of topics. Number one, to get back to the island of Ischia, Arpad, and of course Sean knows who I'm referring to, years ago said I worked spelled out the name. I said, I can't find it. I said, look at the Bay of Naples or Naples Bay. Look at Capri. Go a little bit southwest. I'm trying to remember. And you'll find the island. And he looks it up on a map. This is way back. He said, did you ever work them? I said, no, but I had lunch there. I told him. Lebanese food, I can't remember what I ate in Lebanon, but I do remember we went to a village in the Bekaa Valley on a tour, and they were taking their type of bread out of the oven, and it tasted like Kellogg's cornflakes without the sugar. Real bread. Good Middle East bread actually comes from. There isn't a tariff on it or a tax. They do their flour different in Canada, process it. But yeah, I can't remember. I know we ate it, I think it was the King George Hotel. I mean, you know, I'm that old, I can't remember. But there's so much different food. And Sean and I were talking about that Chinese supermarket in Madison Heights, 168. And I ate some wonton there. It's just phenomenal. Nothing like you get in a Chinese restaurant. But I do love food. I do love food. Sean?
Oh, yeah. Me too. Yep, no question. And, you know, exotic foods are, I'm always up to try something. I've not tried Ethiopian yet. I know they got that place, Blue Nile. I'd like to try that sometime. I was trying Indian, and I wasn't thrilled. But then I found this place at Penn and Ryan, of all places. It's called Bismillah. And, oh, my God, that place is just so good. So it really depends, you know. And I'm guessing it's a regional thing, you know. Like, you know, the guys that are cooking at this Bismillah place are probably, you know, of a certain background, and they have certain spices and ways to cook things. And I just love their food. Everything I've got was outstanding. But yet I go to Spice 21 up by my house, and it's okay, you know. So I'm guessing that's a regional thing. But real quick, before I get parked here and have to get inside, as far as things I want to try, there's a Puerto Rican place, and I might have told you about this, Walt. It's down in Mexican Town, and a little bit, you know, a couple blocks off the main beaten path, but it's Puerto Rican. They pretty much operate out of the back of a house. You got to go into the alley and get your food, and I want to try that so bad. It's on my list of things I got to do. And then I don't know if I told you about the Ukrainian restaurant in Ontario. I have been dying to go there for some time, and I have not been there yet, but there's this little place, and it's literally called Ukrainian Restaurant. This little old Busha, you know, runs the place, and, you know, you walk into her house, sit, you know, and they got the prices all written on the chalkboard, and they probably haven't erased it since 1980, and, you know, it's supposed to be just a phenomenal experience. And, you know, I want to do that just because I haven't had, you know, good actual Ukrainian, you know, since, you know, my mother and my aunts and in that past. So I'm dying to get there before you can't get there anymore, because, you know, you gotta watch that. You know, time is of the essence in some cases. But I am parking here, so I'll be able to listen out, and I'll grab my portable so I won't miss much. But go ahead and pick it up, Anthony, and I'll listen out. W8FU.
All right, Sean, have a great day. Those restaurants sound interesting. There's always fun stuff to be found, and sounds like you're always on the search for it. That's pretty cool. I am not far from making my final destination and parking also, so I'll throw it over to you, Walt, and I probably have one more time around.
Okay, guys. No, I didn't eat in Puerto Rico. I got drunk. That's all I remember. We were hitchhiking. Got to downtown, was it San Juan? I can't remember the damn capital. And I told my buddy Ted, we made two med cruises together. I go, holy shit, this is worse than, you know, every armpit we've been over in the med. Speaking of which, I love the restaurants that we have Mediterranean food. A rock does not touch the Mediterranean. But they had to name it something to keep the haters away. Everybody have a great day. Anthony, I'll let you clear, and stay safe. WBAP.
Thanks, Walt. Sounds like you've done a little bit of traveling in your day, and I'm sure I'll hear more about it. So I will catch up with both of you guys later. This is KERUH, and I will be clear.
And 8KPP. NAKPP.
Good morning.
Good morning. How are you on a bright, shiny day?
Oh, just trying to get caught up. I had that 3 days off last week, and just all sorts of stuff I just got to knock out.
Did you get your building taken down and put in the container like you wanted? I know that was one of your goals.
Yep, that was a success, so that's pretty much done, you know, for the most part. And hence the reason I took the days off, but yeah, it's all good.
Yeah, very good. Okay, I know that's what you're working on, so I might actually have a weekend to myself. I might be able to come to the breakfast on Saturday. All sorts of things have been going on. Just like wham, 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 wham. All good things, except for one, her father dying. But other than that, everything else has been really, really good. So I still have to have lunch or something with you and tell you the story about, you know, her passing out and of course, my son, you know, at the wedding. So, you know, when you look at that stuff, you kind of smile. But at the time, you know, it wasn't anything anybody was really smiling about.
Well, you did kind of give me the rundown when you and Greg and I met at that little place there on Jefferson. So, you did bring me up to speed somewhat. But, yeah, we'll have to connect. I want to get that, hotspot to, Jim, is it? Or Tim? I want to get that hotspot to him, and I guess Don is going to be picking up a radio from him and then reprogramming it, putting that new software on it. So I'm going to try to coordinate this weekend with Don so that we can get the whole package up to him.
Yeah, Tom, KCA, KJO, Tom Cujo, up there in Memphis. He has some significant neck surgery, and he's tied up for another month or so. So he is definitely a candidate for having a hot spot. He fits in good with our little group. So, but yeah, he's up there in the land of no antennas. And if Don's up there, Memphis, Armada, what else? I could probably even help you out a little bit, too, if you want. Probably go visit her mother, because she's all alone now, and she said something about going to visit her mother this weekend, too. So, and I think Memphis and Armada are our neighbors, aren't they?
Well, I don't know if I'd say that. You know, Memphis is a skip north of Richmond. So, you know, I mean, yeah, it's up that way, but... I'd say it's more like Richmond, and then some. Boardman Road pretty much runs right through downtown, so it's not too far. 32, what would that be? 36, 38? I don't know what that Boardman Road is. If you were to equate it to a mile road, I know it's still 30 something. So 36 or 38 mile is a roughly Boardman Road, but you know, an M19 right there. Anywho, the biggest problem I have is that I wanna like fire up this hotspot and just, you know, kind of get a feel for how it works, I know it's working, but I just want to get a feel for how it works so that, you know, can offer some guidance, but I'm just not going to have time, so I'll just get it to Don and send it along, and so unless you want to play with it and see what you think and, you know, or whatnot, but like I said, Don is meeting up. Well, Don is going to meet up with him to pick up his 390 or whatever the heck it is, then put the GD77 software on it, and then we just want to make sure that we get both the hotspot and the radio program with a, you know, channel that he can use so he can start using that.
Yeah, just let Don pick the channel. He's up there just about, like where I live, I can use just about anything and I don't interfere with anybody. So, yeah, I've been playing around with my hotspot lately. That new ASL3, that is entirely different than the other one. Like, they don't want you messing with the, like, the repeater config file. They don't, you know, everything else is just basically done through kind of a interface. And if you want to do anything special to it, it says right on it, don't mess with this file, put it at the end. You know, so, like, my radio, the push-to-talk is inverted. So you put a line on the bottom, and it follows whatever the last line. So it's a lot different. I mean, I guess it's just because, you know, we're also used to, especially you, we're also used to messing with the file itself. ASL3 says, don't do that. Just add your whatever you want to override at the end. So, you know, so if you want to use inverted USB, put it at the bottom if you can't do it through the command line. So I've been playing around with it, learning a lot. It's been fun. But, yeah, I think I stay at, like, 434 or something right in that area. But, and then I also figured out what two wires to jump to make it low power, you know, 7 and 10, to solder those on the SA chip, and that makes it about 5/10 of a watt. So I kicked the power down a little bit, too. I mean, not that it matters, but, you know, I figure the less radiation in the house, the better.
Well, I didn't notice that about ASL3. I'm running exclusively ASL3 now on my nodes, and I literally just modified the file in some cases. You know, there's some things you could do from Simple Tune, but not nearly the things you can do with, you know, with Hamvoid. They've got a modified version of Simple Tune. But the things I did need to adjust that were not part of the ASL 3.0 Simple Tune, I definitely did at the command line. So I might be looking at something different than what you're looking at there.
Read the top two or three paragraphs on the next time you're messing with one of them. You know, it still works, but it what it does is it kind of messes up their programming. You know what I'm saying? And you know, and I think, you know, you're that sharp with that program because you've been with it since its infancy. I don't think it matters, but what I think it where I just think it kind of messes things up is like if you're just using their menu-driven thing. So if you want to change something to DSP or something of that nature or whatever, invert, what have you, then it's looking for this that specific file. And then at the bottom of it, after it says, you know, put things here, you know, you're supposed to put commands over there to override whatever it's supposed to do. And I think I'm not a Linux expert by no way, but I think that that's the intention of it, to keep the file the same in case you ever want to go right back to the command line thing, not the command line thing, but the menu-driven thing, because it's looking for certain things in a certain order. And that's the way I interpret it. So, but it was kind of fun, and I was playing around with the other one, the USB radio. That's kind of interesting, but I couldn't get that one to work right. That was like way out there, at least for my knowledge. Of course, I'm just using one of those little white dongles too. But I did get the Motorola to work, and that's when I was Frost talking the other day, and I learned something about the Motorola. You've got to take everything out of it, because if it starts scanning, it picks that up as an RF signal and starts transmitting it. That's the little hiccup the other couple days ago.
Yeah, it doesn't care what it stops on, whatever it stops on. If you told the thing to, hook up to a node, they don't really care what. You stop by and they'll say, okay. That's a no-no. But, oh well, live and learn. All right, anyhow, I heard you in there. I got several things I have to get to here. And maybe sneak out for a coffee, I'm not sure. But pretty much be locked down here. Just trying to get caught up, man. I got a boatload of emails, and every one of them wants me to do something, so.
Yeah, I'm at our St. Clair's Yards. I got my annual kidney follow-up at 9 o'clock. If I get out of there early, I'll call you on ground wire on this, and maybe I can meet you somewhere, have a cup of coffee with you or something, catch up. That fire department thing, they're all using ATX 7000. That's what the three teams have. So, because I told Kyle, I said, give me your radio. And he goes, sure. And he hands it to me. So that's where they're at, 7000. But, you know, I imagine it's VHF and 800, because I know they use 800, 80 fire and 80 com and 80 something, but they really don't talk on it too much. But 54205 and then a couple of ground frequencies that are narrow, weird frequency, 157, something, something, something. So, but that's where they're at. So are those radios still current, the 7000?
No, those were end of life to, quite some time ago, actually. I've got a half dozen, maybe eight of those that are the VHF 800. They're still perfectly adequate radios, but, you know, you can't add anything to them anymore, and you can't, I don't even know if you can send them in for repair anymore. But, you know, Motorola doesn't generally need repair. So, and if you do, you just got to, you know, you got to shop parts on Flea Bay. But no, the 7000 was end of life a while back. Nice radio. I like 7000s, but you have to pick two bands.
Okay, yeah, it looked pretty beat up, and I told him I needed a new one, and then he joked with me. He says, I just bought, I forget how many pagers, 10 pagers or something like that, you know, because Motorola came back out with it. I'm sure I'm not telling you anything you didn't know, but it's kind of a fact-finding mission for me because I'm on their IT committee. Believe it or not, 180 miles away, and I'm on their IT committee. They just bought a whole bunch of military 7, so he says they just need a big budget. And I said, well, you better get a budget because I think you're going to need to replace me shortly.
Yeah, I mean, they'll work until they don't, you know, so. But, they're definitely out there, so. All right. Anyhow, I got to get to some stuff here. Give me a call when you get clear, and it might work out. I'll probably be good and ready for coffee. If I don't go get one now, I'll be damn good and ready for a coffee shortly.
Okay. Well, I should be first because I'm a big fan of fanboy of making myself always the first doctor appointment. I know how that goes. So I'll get to toss my call out there and see you in a bit. WNHU from NAKPP, 594 and 16 Mile Road heading west.
All righty, have fun. Catch you in a bit. WNHU.
Testing. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Radio check. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Eric.
And Sean, I'm just north of 16 mile now, 10-8 KBV.
Roger, I'll be leaving at 5.
Rolling.
That's mobile. Sometimes my ears don't hear that. They're fast. Yeah, what's going on over there? Did you get a hold of Captain Don at all? Or, I mean, has he stopped by? I'm just curious.
He hasn't texted me yet. I guess I know I'm not pushing him. But I give him my address. But we chatted for like a half hour on the phone. And when he's ready to come out, he's going to come out, and I'm going to drop off his stuff with him.
Okay, yeah, he's probably hasn't headed up there yet. I know he goes in between two places. He's got a place, he visits his parents down here, and then he's probably already told you the whole story. And then he's got his house up there.
Yeah, we chatted for a bit. We have similar personal issues, I guess you can say. So, which is cool, like I said. He lives right there in Columbus over, I know exactly where he lives. And he's got my place, I said, anytime. So I'm usually up to like 10, 11 o'clock at night. So if you want to come in the evening, I'll be here.
Very good, yeah. He'll take care of it. I mean, he's got all the stuff in his truck. Like, he's got the cable and everything. He'd probably just take it from you for a moment and, like, get it all working and then hand it back to you. He uses the, so for the satellites, you have to always program it, you know, the updated coordinates, they call them KEPS. And so he's always modifying his radio with those.
Yeah, he told me about that. And I saw, you know, I checked out his webpage and his Facebook page, and man, does he have a lot of toys. Yeah, I downloaded that OpenGD7 software. I found it online. I downloaded it, and it looks pretty interesting. Looks easy to use. But when I plug my CYT into it, it doesn't find the COM port, since the driver is actually in the radio. It's not in the cable itself.
NAKPT mobile for about 5 minutes.
Low N8KPP, KF8S, stationary but mobile.
Now that's two conflicting terms, young man.
How about I am stationary in a mobile in a parking lot?
Oh, I got it. So she's in the store shopping and you're waiting for her.
Not quite. I had to pull over because my mortgage person called me, and I go, hold on, I need to park for so I'm not a distracted driver. So then that spawned a bunch of other things. So they wanted some documents, and then I've got some emails from other people, all that stuff. So I'm just in the parking lot and heard you call out. And I'm sorry to Cujo. I had to put the mic down in a hurry. Just because they you never know when these people call.
Yeah, we gotta get Cujo a hotspot. I had kind of a brunch with Sean. We talked about it, but we didn't follow through on it. So one of us gotta get it. I think Captain Don is gonna help him out on his handheld, and one of us is gonna help him out on a gated but very well respected hotspot. Let's get him on the air. So go from there. I should talk to somebody. This is another Dave. Sterling Heights on the repeater over there in Pontiac, the digital one, the Talk Group 8901. You familiar with that one? That was a pretty cool conversation.
I know of the repeater, but I didn't know it was actually used. I thought they were just using it for, emergency training and stuff like that.
Actually, somebody put some money in it and fixed it, tuned it. It works quite well. I mean, I can't hit it from my house with a handy-talkie, but I can hit it from my house with just with the minimal so-called base station setup I got. And it worked remarkably well. So they did fix it, and nobody said anything to me about not using it. So I used it, guy threw his call out, and I said, okay, I'll talk to you. So I just figured I'd let you know that there's another one out there if you ever want. It's not on Brandmeister, not with an 8901 number, but nonetheless, 8901, but it's there and it's working if you ever want to throw another digital channel in your radio.
I'll have to put that one in and look at that. But yeah, we gotta get him an all-star. You know, we really need to get him an all-star node or a maybe just get a one of our surplus hams over IP phones to him. Just get into that as well.
Yeah, well, somebody has one of those, or if he gets himself one of those, I've got an extra sidecar. The analog sidecar I'll just give to him, just shove in a closet. You know, I had to have the digital one, so, you know how it is. All of a sudden, those handies, you know, you have to have it. So I had myself in one of those situations, so I bought one of the digital ones, and I put the analog one in a box. So if somebody gets him one of those, he doesn't have to buy a sidecar, I'll just give it to him.
Yep, understood. So where are you off to? You just doing errands?
One customer, one doctor, one courthouse. I had to go get the official copy of the marriage license. I feel kind of sorry to be the female end out of a marriage. There's a lot of things that she has to change and nothing I have to change. So, so anyways, but she needed official copies. So I went and picked up four official stamped copies at the courthouse today. So that was on my honey-do list. The doctor was just a regular follow-up routine thing. And what else? I had brunch with Sean, just talked about small things. And nothing big. I think that was it. Oh, and went and seen one customer and a couple possessors. And now I'm in the office parking lot and everybody's staring at me, so I should probably go in there. So I'm going to have to cut you short, too. Tom Cujo, KCAKJO or whatever, if you're there, I apologize. We shall chat soon. And everybody be good. N8KPP clear on Dave's final.
Alrighty, well, we'll chat with you later, and I'm going to clear as well. I got to make some phone calls. I got my different rates that I can choose from. Kind of cool. But you got to pay down those. You can either pay it down the mortgage or you're not to get the better rate. So we'll see what I want to do. I got to think about it. So 73, and I'll be monitoring / clear. See ya, Theta.
Hey, when you're doing your math, I'll throw a little business sense at you. Also figure out, so let's say your minimum payment is this or your normal payment is this. Also figure it out if you take whatever the longer term is with the lesser dollar and throw an extra $100 at it or something. Figure that in too, because believe it or not, that makes a huge difference in the rates and stuff. So when you're doing your math, figure that out. Say, okay, my payment is this, and what if I throw an extra $100 at it, you know, that I don't have to, because that comes right off the principal. So, you know, and so when you're doing all your math and you're thinking and you're figuring, figure that in into your formula too. Later, Gator. KPP.
KCK Joe. Yeah, I heard you guys talk a little bit. But my dog's been going because somebody's over at the house trying to pick up one of those power wheels. So 73 to both of you, and we'll chat later. KCKGO.
N8FS.
What is it? N8FS. KCKGO. You still out there on the radio for a minute?
Yep, it's Kilo. I know it's going to take a while to remember. Kilo, Foxtrot, 8 Sierra, KF8S. Yep, I'm here.
Okay, KF8S. All right, I had it written down, but I'm outside. I heard you guys conversing, but then my dog started going crazy because we had a visitor pick up something. So I got part of it, but not all of it. But I got my new email in on QRZ. So you can throw me an email out there.
All right, yeah, as soon as I'm back at my desk in my computer, I'll send you my email. I'm also good on QRZ as well, so if you're logged into QRZ, you can see my email. If you're just looking to exchange emails.
Yeah, look at you back at your desk. I had to come outside and get some sunshine and this little cool breeze. Step away from the dogs, they were driving me nuts.
Yeah, believe it or not, I was just going to go to Costco for lunch, and then I got phone call storm. That's why I had to drop the mic on you. I think you were mid-transmission, and I just had to, like, shut the radio off and answer the call because it was my mortgage person. So I wanted to... The rates are really weird right now. They're fluctuating up and down, so I wanted to lock in. And, my processor needed some documents, so I had to pull over and get those all settled for her. So everything's going good. Getting me excited to get the move soon.
Yeah, get that rate locked in. Make sure you get your PRE filled out and make sure you get that to the city as soon as you sign the papers. That's your primary residential exemption. That's for school taxes, because you get a discount on that for a PRE. And then don't forget that, is this your first house?
Oh, it's my second house, but, you know, 24 years. So I'm refreshing my brain on all the processes. So, yeah, I know what you're talking about. Once I get the primary residence thingy, I bring it to the township and get it stamped and filed.
Yeah, I do that when I moved into 2018, and then I was on the I was on the city tax board here, and then I was with the assessor. He goes, "You didn't fill that out?" I'm like, "I don't think so." Or no, I filled it out. It didn't get filed, and found out it didn't get filed. So they did some quick paperwork and some filing really fast, and I got back like almost $3,000 in property taxes, and got my PRE updated.
Yeah, if you don't do that, you pay more in taxes. Yeah, I completely understand that. I had to do the, when I sold my house, I had to sign the form that I'm really giving up those rights. And now I'm going to be getting them back again for this one. And that person, the person that bought my house, that was not their primary residence. They actually bought it as an investment home. So they did not get to sign or whatever you want to call it, to file, because they already had a home in Troy or something. And, yep, there's so much paperwork that goes into closing and all that stuff, more for the buyer than the seller. But, yep, hoping to get, I got a good rate, locking in around 5.9, so I'm happy about that. That's what I was hoping for, to get it under 6, or around 6, I should say.
That's a good rate. I redid mine 2 years later, and I went from, I think, just under 4 or just over 4, and I got it down to, I think, 3.5, maybe is where I'm at right now. I refied after 2 years, so watch that market really close.
Yeah, it's been trending, you know, down, and then we had the jobs report, and not sure exactly how that's all related to each other, but maybe it's the ability to pay back loans that spooked some people. So then that jumped it back up, and now who I'm purchasing the home for, they're giving you $7,500 towards closing costs, and I can use that any way I want. You know, I can pay points down to get the mortgage rate down, or I can use it for, you know, whatever the one-time fees are for the title and stuff like that.
Sounds like the plan. And if you're able to put a little bit of extra into your escrow on your payments, I mean, not much. I mean, if you can do it, you know, do $50 extra into your escrow, maybe, because for the escrow, that helps with your mortgage insurance and property taxes and stuff. And if there's an overage, then you would check back. But if there's an underage, they'll say, "Hey, we need some extra money." Like mine, I was like $42 short, so I'm sending them an extra $50 in my monthly payment this month to cover that.
Yeah, I'll have to estimate that as well. Yeah, that's a good idea. And the other thing you can do is you can make payments every 2 weeks to your mortgage, like divide your payments up into two, but you make them every 2 weeks. So, like, instead of it once a month where you're making 12 payments, you're making, like, 26 because, you know, 52 weeks a year. And it ends up being like you make one extra payment a year that way, too. I'm going to try to, you know, put more money towards the principal if I can, you know. But it's all, this first year, though, it's probably going to be all, I need the money for expenses, you know, new home and all that stuff.
All right, trying to get the dogs out. Asking itself. Yeah, I think a coworker of mine does that. He puts it up in the tube. I'm trying to figure out how that goes. So once you get a good example of how that goes, let me know, and maybe I'll start trying to do that.
Yeah, so you pay more, you know, throughout the year, right? Because you're making 20... Well, actually, yeah, I'm trying to figure out how that works. Yeah, you end up making an extra payment a year by doing that, because you know, some months are 4 weeks, you know, approximately. You know, we got some of the short months like September, and you know, they only have 30 days. Somehow it works itself out so that there's more payments going, and I think if I put it on paper and visualized it, I would see it, but I'm not quite able to explain it, but it's supposed to end up, and the other thing, too, is you are lowering the amount of interest you're paying, right? So you're kind of like getting ahead of the interest by putting more principal towards it or something like that. So maybe somebody else out here can explain it better. I'm not good with numbers.
Neither am I.
In any case, you know, you're paying, if you pay more in principal, so some people just pay extra in principal, right? Like, so if you have a $500 payment, right, and you make $700 payment, and you put that $200 towards principal, that's going to, you know, the interest is based off of your principal. I know they have a schedule, like an interest payment schedule, but if you notice it, like you pay very little in principal at the beginning of the loan, as I'm sure you're aware. And so if you want to, like, pay down your principal, you got to actually do the effort towards it.
Okay. Well, maybe I'll call my mortgage company and see how that works. Maybe this is something else, I guess.
Yeah, the other thing, too, is you got to look at your budget. If you can't afford it, right, I mean, don't do it. But if you can afford to make extra payments, it's helps you in the long run.
Yeah, I'd rather make the same payment every month. I mean, it's pretty locked in, and I just put all the money aside, and I just send it all out from a separate account. It makes it a lot easier. How do I sound on this radio? I changed radios.
It's sounding decent. There's a little bit of crackling in the signal. That's not your fault. That's just the way it is when you're at a distance.
Well, I programmed an analog channel into my DMR radio. It does analog and digital, so I just want to see how it is.
Yeah, you're solid in there. Good tone to your voice and everything. Which DMR radio is that? Is it like any tone, or is it a Motorola? You got like a surplus Motorola, like what's his name, Wally?
Oh, no, it's a Chinese radio called TYT. It's a MBUV380.
Okay, that's the Captain Don one, yep. Our Redivis RT3S is also same, like, insides. And that's what I've got. So we got the same radio. I like my Anytone, though. I have an 878. And that one I bought back in 2021. That thing's been rock solid from those days. It's got a lot of wear and tear on it now. And like the button's starting to fade and stuff like that. So they haven't come out with a new model yet. So I've been using that.
Well, I've just been messing with radios all day. I got two old Duralinkos. Oh gosh, what are they? 5T, something dash 5T. So I got to hand program those. And I got my ball thing that I usually talk on. And the TYT. But yeah, Don Dominic, that's okay. So we talk on the phone.
In the USB sec, you know, the fat part of the USB plug. So, well, anyways, I'm at Costco right now. I'm gonna go in there. I'm gonna eat my pizza or whatever I decide to eat, and then get some a few things that we need. So I will be clear after your final. KF8S.
Don't forget to get the churros. They're awesome. 73, shopping. I'll talk to you later. Yep.
WPAD monitoring.
KCAKJ.
This is Kilo Zulu 8, Juliet Foxtrot, mobile, listening. This is Kilo Zulu 8, Juliet Foxtrot, mobile, listening.
W8HBX, KF8ATE.